Good morning. My name is Thomas Provencik. I'm an American living in Hong Kong in Berlin. And the title of my talk is Nanoparticles and Dark Matter. Preface: Nanotechnology is the science of the very small. And the search for dark matter in the universe may appear to be unrelated, but I would like to try to show you in the talk that they find commonalities in nanoparticles, which I'll be calling NPs. In nanotechnology, nanoparticles are thought to conserve heat by increasing in temperature. Many of you are going to give a talk at this conference that may be invoking this argument. However, the Planck law of quantum mechanics, QM, requires the heat capacity of the quantum size nanoparticles to vanish. I don't know if you're using that. The history: in 1926, Hubble discovered the universe was expanding, and this was based on velocity measurements inferred from the Doppler redshifts of light from recessing galaxies. As the galaxy light travels to the Earth, especially going through the surroundings, it interacts with cosmic dust. And astronomers assumed that the light-matter interactions follow classical physics, causing temperature changes that today has indirectly led to dark matter. But if quantum mechanics is assumed, I will show you in the course of this talk there is no dark matter. Now, the introduction. Dark matter has a long history. In the 1930s, the Milky Way was found to rotate faster than expected, suggesting dark matter was present. And to keep the Coma cluster — Coma was a name of a cluster of galaxies — to keep them together, the mass of dark matter would have to be much larger than visible matter. And similar to Hubble, early velocity measurements of galaxies were based on the redshift of optical wavelengths. In 1950, radio astronomers came along and argued that you could use the 21 centimeter line of neutral hydrogen atoms. This would support dark matter. And of course, they found it to agree. And in the 1970s, optical and radio redshifts were resolved for the M31 spiral galaxy by assuming dark matter. Now, generally, people agree that dark matter is invisible, having about 5 times the mass of ordinary matter, but what it is and how it was formed has remained a mystery. Now, the dilemma between quantum mechanics and classical physics. Classical physics allows atoms in quantum-sized nanoparticles and hydrogen atoms to fluctuate in temperature. But quantum mechanics forbids that. There cannot be any temperature fluctuations as the heat capacities vanish, which requires conservation of the photons by non-thermal mechanisms. For example, cosmic dust could be conserved by the optical re-emission of redshifted galaxy photons. And of course, it's absorbed, it can be re-emitted. There's no temperature change, and that would be an acceptable mechanism. And the hydrogen atoms by themselves in space can also do the same thing. They can conserve by optical emission of the 21 centimeter line. And because they're both optical, both require optical telescopes. However, radio telescopes only measure temperature fluctuations. So, to measure the 21 centimeter line of hydrogen with a radio telescope is questionable. You can think about that. The proposal I like to make is dark matter is not a physical property of the universe. It can be discovered by experiment and only exists because optical redshifts are not corrected for cosmic thoughts. Radio redshifts of the 21 centimeter hydrogen line are simply problematic and really have no meaning in cosmology, and it will be treated as such in this talk. Now, going back to optical redshift, here is the typical measured redshift that one would measure. Delta lambda v, or this would be the change in wavelength of the galaxy recession velocity, delta lambda v, and delta lambda d here is the change, is the increment of the cosmic dust, caused by cosmic dust. And the recession redshift z sub v is delta lambda v over lambda, and the cosmic dust, I call this z sub d, delta lambda d over lambda. So in general, when you take do a redshift measurement of a galaxy, you're going to see both of these. You're going to see z sub v, which is what you're after. However, there's also an additional component called the dust. Now what Hubble did, he didn't worry about the dust. He assumed what he was measuring was actually all of this. The z he was measuring was caused by the recession velocity. Doppler shift. This is the relationship between the velocity of the receding galaxy v and the velocity of light c. And this is the measurement that you would take. Now, if you factor this out and reduce it for z measurement much less than 1, you'll get this relationship, that v over c will be equal to z measurement, basically, and that change in wavelength over wavelength gives you that v is equal to simply the velocity of light c times the measured redshift. And in 1970, the M31 redshift was taken with the nitrogen 2 line at 6583 angstroms. To give you a feel for the numbers involved, z here turned out to be 1/1000. And what this means is to resolve this redshift, you need to resolve around 6.5 angstroms out of 6,583 angstroms. If you do that, and what you find is you get a velocity here, this is the velocity of light c times 0.01. This comes out around 300 kilometers per second. This is the typical order of magnitude that they were measuring back in 1970. Now, the heat capacity of the atom. On the ordinate here, you see the Planck energy of the atom in electron volts. And on the abscissa, you see the electromagnetic confinement wavelength, lambda, in microns. Now, if you take the Planck law, which you see here, most of you know this, and plot it out at 2.7, you get this blue curve. And at 300 Kelvin, which is where we work in nanotechnology, you're going to get this yellow curve. So you can see that the KT energy of the atom, when it's macro scale, way out in here, is valid. But this dotted line tells you that classical physics allows you to use the same KT energy for the atom as you had in the macro scale. And you can see that there's a problem with that because quantum mechanics shows the heat capacity to vanish. So basically, classical physics, the dotted line, allows the nanoparticle atoms to always have KT heat capacity. But quantum mechanics differs by only allowing the KT heat capacity at the macro scale. But then you have to ask the question, how do the nanoparticles inherently provide electromagnetic confinement less than 0.1 microns? Here's a typical KT. you have to get over here at the 0.1 micron. So how do you get the wavelength down this shore? Okay, that's the question. Now, to do that, we can argue that the electromagnetic confinement of atoms in cosmic dust is a natural consequence, students. You don't have to do anything to the surface at all. It will be a natural consequence of the high S over V ratios. And S over V stands for surface to volume, and as you know, nanoparticles have high surface to volume ratios. So what this means is when the nanoparticle absorbs galaxy light, almost all the photon energy is deposited on the surface, and the electromagnetic confinement occurs as the temperature cannot change because of quantum mechanics, and it cannot increase to relieve the surface heat by thermal expansion. If the nanoparticle could have heat capacity, it could change in temperature, and the nanoparticle could expand, and you would not have the electromagnetic confinement. So really, it's the high S over V ratios that cause the nanoparticle to act like it does. Now, simple QED. Now, when you normally think of QED, you think of Feynman. And the QED of light-matter interaction, this is what he developed, was a complex relativistic theory based on virtual photons. The simple QED differs. In simple QED, you work with real photons, and you conserve the heat from the absorbed galaxy light, and this is verifiable. Unlike Feynman's virtual photons, you can't verify this. But with a real photon, you can. And briefly stated, under the quantum mechanical restriction that the heat capacity of the atom vanishes, the heat of the galaxy photon absorbed in a nanoparticle surface creates standing radiation inside the nanoparticle, having a half wavelength lambda over T 2 equal to D. D here is the nanoparticle diameter. And in simple QED, and I'm going to repeat this emphatically, the photons are real, they're not imaginary like Feynman assumed. The Planck energy that you get for the standing radiation is given here. You can see this is basically hc over lambda. However, I have in here the refractive index of the nanoparticle because the speed of light will be resolved, slowed down in the solid. But it comes out to AC over 2ND. And once the confinement is depleted in creating the wave, there's no longer any electromagnetic confinement. And what happens is the wave then can escape the nanoparticle as a redshifted photon with wavelength 2ND. Basically simple QED. What about valid redshift? If you're an astronomer and you're trying to measure the velocity of a galaxy, how do you know what you're measuring is valid? And here I make a plot of the QED redshift in the dust. This is in the dust on the ordinate, and on the abscissa is the diameter, the radius of of the cosmic dust in microns. This is the diameter divided by 2. I show two curves here. The H alpha line, it's a red photon at this wavelength, and the yellow line is the Lyman alpha. This is the UV photon. I show two of them, and you can see how the redshift would change depending on the size of the particle. Now, the blue line here is the ratio of the velocity of the galaxy to the velocity of light for both of these expressions. And what it's saying is that this is what you would think the galaxy is moving at when in fact the galaxy is not moving at all. This is the error caused by the cosmic dust. So what I'd like to propose is a way of measuring and measuring the redshift and seeing if it's valid or not, is you would measure the redshift Z, but you would also do a measurement of the redshift of the Lyman alpha line and also the H alpha line, these two lines that I show on the plot. And if the redshift of the Lyman alpha is equal to that of the H alpha, this means there's no cosmic dust, because no matter what the emission wavelength is of the element, the velocity would be the same. So if there's, what it's saying is there's no cosmic dust if there, these redshifts are the same. This would give you the impression you have a valid Z. But the problem is that in practice, the Z is usually only measured for one line, and they're difficult to measure. These lines are not that easily readable. So in reality, it's difficult to think that you may have any validity at all to the typical astronomical measurement. So in summary, in cosmic dust, simple QED redshifts the galaxy photon because quantum mechanics precludes conservation by temperature. And QED is a simple form of the complex light and matter interaction advanced by Feynman and others. And the galaxy photon, if it's absorbed in a nanoparticle, without heat capacity, you're going to get a redshifted photon. And here I give an example of this. Here's a cosmic dust particle diameter D. Here's a galaxy photon, wavelength lambda. It comes in, it's absorbed. It all goes to the surface because of the high surface to volume ratio. There's no temperature change by quantum mechanics. And to conserve that energy, you create a photon, a standing wave photon is created inside. And then it comes out as a redshifted photon. And it will have a wavelength of 2 ND. And this is the expression for Z sub D, for the dust, 2 ND minus lambda over lambda. And the equations are simple. The F here is the frequency of the radiation, the velocity of light corrected for the wave refractive index N divided by lambda, and lambda over 2 is equal to D, and the Planck energy E is equal to Planck's constant H times the frequency F. Discussion. I'd like to talk briefly about radial redshift, accelerated universe expansion, dark matter, ghost galaxy, and wave particle duality. Radio redshift. The Wisshausen field, this was two individuals, called WF effect. Couples the spin temperature TS of the 21 centimeter line of neutral hydrogen, this is around 1320 megahertz, to the kinetic temperature T sub K. However, the Planck law invalidates the WF effect, as the kinetic temperature TK cannot fluctuate by quantum mechanics. I alluded to this earlier. So the 21 centimeter hydrogen line can only have a non-thermal origin, and therefore radio redshift has no meaning. What they're measuring with temperature is something we don't know. What this means is cosmology must rely on optical redshift. Accelerated expansion. In 2001, SN here stands for supernova, was found brighter than it should have been. And this implied to astronomers at that time that the universe was expanding. Okay? And there was a Nobel Prize awarded in this. And here I show the brightness. This is the individual watching. He looks out, he sees a supernova, it's bright. So he thinks it's on the order of Z sub V. However, when he does his redshift measurement, what he finds, it appears further away. So the redshift it indicates that the supernova is further away than it actually is. So, because you have Z sub V plus CD. But it's brighter because the supernova is actually at ZV. So the accelerated universe is not real, but rather an illusion caused by cosmic dust. It was something that the Nobel Committee ignored. Dark matter. In 1970, Spiral Galaxy N31 has a flat velocity curve with a decreasing nitrogen 2 line intensity. This is what they saw in 1970. And here's an example of that. Here's the spiral galaxy. You can see from this plan view here, the galaxy is rotating counterclockwise. If you look at it on edge, the velocity profile predicted by Newtonian mechanics is shown here. This is velocity versus radius. It increases and it drops off. But what they found when they measured the redshifts, they found a flat curve. This is shown in yellow here. And this is what caused a dilemma, and it could not be explained. Here I expand the same picture. I show a coordinate system here from the nucleus, x, y, and an angle theta. And what you see here are three stars. These are really cosmic dust particles. So the radiation from the star goes out radially, as you can see here, until it's absorbed. And when it's absorbed, it's going to have a redshift, as I just showed you. But some of that radiation that's coming to the Earth will be reduced because by the cosine of theta. So for velocity, for y equal here, y equal r sine theta, it doesn't matter what y is, you're going to get the same number, 2nd minus lambda over lambda, and this gives you the flat curve. For the line intensity, you can see here that the intensity will go with a0 cosine theta, and this will decrease as you go with the radius. So the conclusion here is that the flat curve is caused by dust, not dark matter. There's no dark matter in this at all. Ghost galaxy. This was recently discovered, a galaxy called DF2, and what they found was there was no dark matter. That meant that the rotation curve was not flat. It dropped off as you would expect by Newtonian mechanics. Here I show a picture of it. You can see right through it. It's relatively transparent. You can see the stars on the other side of the galaxy. And the question you may want to ask, if there's no dark matter, why is that? That's a contradiction. There should be dark matter everywhere. But it's transparent. Now, given what I've already discussed in this presentation, I ask you the question, can the audience explain why this is so? And you can think about it, but basically, there's no dark matter because there's no cosmic dust. Okay? So this is a problem right now in cosmology, and there's a lot of people working on this problem, and what I'm presenting to you is an example of that. Now, what about wave particle duality? This is not necessarily related to dark matter, but in general, in physics, if you have a photon, a simple QED is a mechanism by which you can explain why a photon is a particle, becomes a wave, and then when it interacts with matter. The same physics would help you understand this mechanism. Here I show the galaxy photon, your H nu energy. It comes in as a particle because it's in a vacuum. There's nothing to make it a wave. It gets absorbed by the dust particle. It becomes a wave, and I've shown you how that occurs. And then I show it coming out as a wave, but that's wrong. I did that on purpose. It comes out as a particle because the photon is in a vacuum. It will have a redshifted value E equal H nu, although it's a particle. So in a vacuum, the photon is a particle, not a wave. And in matter, photon is a wave, not a particle. So you can think about this in relation to your early physics. The conclusion then is, by refuting current cosmological theories for dark matter and universe expansion, perhaps cosmology may return to Einstein's once upon a time static and dynamic universe. He thought at one time the universe was static and dynamic and changed it later to an expanding universe, which now is being questioned. Well, that's all I have. This is my email, and take a look at my homepage. You'll see some ideas on simple QED. Thank you very much.